Okay, I'm off on a hike soon, but I need a few helpers to come and help me check. I've got everything in my backpack. Mercy, you're my girl. I knew you'd help me. Come on. Are you coming, Mikkel? Yeah? Anyone else want to come and help me, Hunter? Do you want to see what's in my bag? There might be some interesting things in here, Hunter. Right, come on then. Let's see what we've got in here. You pull something out. Whoa, what's that? A boot. Will I need those for my walk? Yeah? Guys, I'm climbing Scarfell Pike. I'm going to need my walking boots, aren't I? Oh, what are those? A pair of socks. Yeah, we might have two boots. Two socks. Those would be useful. What else do you think I might need on my hike? Oh, what are we going to pull out? Oh. What's that?
A lunchbox.
Am I going to need a lunchbox? I might get hungry. Hang on a minute. What's that? It's a tap shoe. A tap shoe. Do I need a tap shoe to climb a mountain? No, don't need that, do we? No. Right, come on. Shall we see if Hunter wants to pull something out? Shall we take this down and see? Hunter, would you like to look in my bag? Would you like to look in my bag? You don't know where my voice is coming from, do you? Do you want to look in Becky's bag, Hunter? What's that? Is it a smelly boot? Oh, I'm going to need my second boot. Definitely going to need two boots, aren't I? Right, what else? Is there anything I'm missing? Anyone got any ideas of what I might be missing? Water, a coat. Good point, Angie. I'm not sure we've got one. Right, go on then, Mercy. Oh, yes, a drink. And it's a flask, so I can have a hot drink if I want. Do you want to get involved? Do you? Okay, anything else? What do you think, Mercy? What else might you need if you're going for a big walk up a mountain? Should we get rid of the other tap shoe? We don't want that, do we?
No.
Gloves. Gloves, definitely. Do you want to have a little look? What else is in there? Oh, yes. Hang on. Let me put my hat on. I'm going to need my hat. Does that look good?
Yeah.
I'm getting there. I'm getting sorted. What else is in there?
Another pen.
Oh, perfect. Two gloves. I think there might be one more thing. Have a dig around. Oh. Oh, what's that?
Perfume.
Do I need my perfume? Nah, I don't need that. I'm not going to throw that one because it is glass. But no, I don't need that, do I? Right, so I've got all these things for my walk. And I'll put my boots on. In fact, will you pack my rucksack for me? Put it all in. Don't want the tap shoes. And we'll pretend I put my boots on. We'll put all this in. Yeah, put it all in. That's it. Okay, boots are going in. Fine. Right, so I'm going to put this on my back because I'm going to be walking probably for about 6 hours. So I need to make sure I've got all this stuff, don't I? So, perfect. I'm ready to go. So I'm going to go and climb the highest mountain in England. All right, anything else I need? First aid kit would be really handy. That would be a good idea because I might fall over. Right, where do I go? I need a map. Okay, which direction am I going to go? Is it out of that door?
No.
That door?
That.
Can someone point the direction of Scarfell Pike, please? Which way to Scarfell Pike? I don't know where to go. What am I going to do? Hang on. I think there's one pocket we didn't investigate in this rucksack. What do you think might be in this pocket? Do you think the grown-ups know? Oh, Helen says a compass. She's right. So if I put this compass around my neck and I know that Scarfell Pike is north-ish from here, well, in fact, I've got to walk. Can you see that big N?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah,
we have to match that up. And that is the way north. Yep, so I'm going to walk that way. I'm going to go that way, and I'm going to get to my mountain. And this is a little bit like, isn't it? when we're following God. Sometimes we can hear lots of different voices. We can hear lots of people telling us different stuff. But actually, what the Bible says is that the Bible and God are a bit like a compass, that we need to listen to God's voice and hear where we're going from Him.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, reading from verse 14. Although these nations that you are about to dispossess do give heed to soothsayers and diviners, as for you, the Lord your God does not permit you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, like me, from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die." Then the Lord replied to me, "They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name, a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." You may say to yourself, "How can we recognize a word that the Lord has not spoken?" If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The songs now. We're going to go first straight from the first song into the second song. The first song is "Our God is a Great Big God," which we all know. We all know the actions. Any children like to come and help me with the actions? Miriam, Mercy, Mikkel, do you want to come and help? Because we've practiced this, haven't we? And then in the second song, there's some ribbons down here which we'll hand out if any of the children want to. So let's stand as we sing "Our God is a Great Big God."
Under the seats, you will notice these compass wheels. These are for you to take away. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to try and unpack 4 points for you on how we can listen to Jesus. So you might want to plot them on the compass for yourself, or in fact, you may have tried and tested methods that you are already comfortable with, that you use to listen to God speaking to you. It's whatever works for you. So do take a copy of one of these, fill it out now if you'd like to. Children, you're really welcome to colour them in as we go through our preach this morning. So one of the most important lessons that we're ever going to learn is how to listen to God. And we've heard already that quite often there's a lot of stuff that gets in the way. It's the everyday, it's the humdrum, all the voices speaking to us. Have you done this? Have you done that? Why don't you make your shopping list? What am I having for tea tonight? What am I going to do tomorrow? What do I think about such and such a person? There's so many noises and distractions that just get in our way. And when that happens, it means that it's much harder for us to be able to hear God speaking to us. But any conversation that we're going to have when we talk to somebody else, as well as talking, we've also got to listen. And when we pray to God, the listening is as much of an importance as the talking is as well. And many of us, I think, if we were to admit it deep down, we're much better at being people who talk rather than being people who listen. Because sometimes listening and silence can be a bit difficult, a little bit challenging. But I'm going to give you 4 points. These are my 4 compass points that I find really helpful when I'm listening to God. Point number one, read the Bible. Throughout the Bible, God uses this incredible range of communication tools to speak to people and get the message across. There are words that God speaks from heaven. There are words that are written on tablets of stone. There's preaching. There's prophecy. There's prayer. There's even answer prayer. There's visual demonstrations of God's power at work. There are thoughts, dreams, visions, symbols, even words from other people. There's signs in creation if you read the book of Genesis. There's music and song. And sometimes there's just thoughts and feelings. And even in one story in the Old Testament, there's even a chatty donkey. So reading the Bible is just going to show us so many ways in which God communicates with us. And as we go through it, there might be different words, different phrases that actually come out to us. And our encounter group on Thursdays, they've been doing a little bit with the Bible over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And we're actually going to do a Lectio Divina coming up, which is a sacred reading of text. So reading the Bible is definitely how God speaks to us. But also God can speak to us when we sit and when we pray with other people. When we allow our shared thoughts to come together as we talk to God. In the Quaker church, they've got a really wonderful tradition. Quakers, quite often in their services, they will just sit there for an hour or whatever in silence and allow God to speak to them as they worship. But when a member hears something and they're not quite sure whether it comes from God, there is a clearness committee that they can submit their thoughts and their prayers to. And this is a group of friends who are going to listen to what that person has to say, and then they're going to sit in silence and actually pray with you. And then, if they feel moved by the Spirit, they'll give you careful feedback. And if that member isn't sure that what they're hearing is truly from God, they can actually give those words to other people who they trust. And quite often, we can simply listen together when we're better in a group. There is safety in community, as we all know. So sitting and praying with other Christians is just one of those exciting ways that God can speak to us. And following on from community, I would go on to friendships. I'm a great advocate of people having soul friends or prayer groups of people they know, perhaps they trust, or new groups that are forming so that people can actually sit and pray together. You could even meet with your vicar if they want to. Part of my job is simply being there with other people, listening to them, and then praying together. That's one of the things that I'm actually here to do. And after we have those encounters with other people, whether it's a family member, whether it's a trusted friend, a colleague, even a stranger, that conversation can actually turn our hearts to something else. It can even turn our thoughts to God as we ask, God, what was actually going on during my time speaking with that other person? What were you trying to say to me? We encounter God in other people. We encounter God in the created world around us as well. And perhaps those encounters with other people might give us a new understanding of how that person is, or even give us a different understanding of ourselves as well. Maybe the conversation opened our eyes to understanding something in a completely different way, and maybe that conversation came from God. And then my final point is to sit and to pray. This prayer is not about just what we want. It's not about offering up that shopping list of, I want this, I want that. Please, God, can you do this or that for me? Prayer, as I said earlier, is about having that relationship, making that connection with God. And prayer is about speaking, but prayer is also about listening as well. Listening to what God has to say to us. And silence, as we know, can be really scary. I've sat in a church in another parish before now when myself and a colleague had a group of scouts in. And we challenged these 13-year-olds to each go and find a different place in the church and actually sit there for 3 minutes in silence. And they found it so difficult because the thoughts and the feelings keep coming to you. You're thinking, is this really 3 minutes? Is this vicar making me sit here for longer than that? But silence can be just one of those powerful ways in which God speaks to us. God can speak through the silence, through that gentle whisper, as the first book of Kings puts it. So we could ask, does God actually speak to us? The Bible tells us that God does indeed speak to us. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament opens like this. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. That's God speaking to us again through the Bible, the prophecy being fulfilled. So God isn't silent. God is a great big God who is alive and active, speaking to us both individually, but also as a church community and in prayer groups as well, when we sit and when we pray together. And when we hear the message, we receive it, we pray over it, we work out if that message is really coming from God. Sometimes it's not just the words we hear. Sometimes it's the thoughts, the feelings, or the emotions that we can experience that tell us that what we're hearing or what we're feeling is truly coming from God. And maybe that's one of the most important understandings we need to get hold of in learning how to listen to God. Because when God speaks, God is speaking to you. The Word of God contains God's truth. Therefore, it's personal. It's relevant for us. We have to, through our prayers, allow God's Holy Spirit to then open up our hearts to give us a deeper understanding of what it is that God is actually saying to us. When we do that, we're working out God's promises on our life. We get a deeper understanding of God's love for us. And God is so serious about this relationship with us that he speaks for our benefit. And so it's really important that we listen to God, chew over those words. Listen to the challenge, because quite often God speaking to us can be a challenge. It can be a challenge to change. It can be a challenge to do something different. Or maybe it's going to be a different sort of a challenge. A challenge to get rid of unhealthy thoughts or feelings or resentments. Sometimes God is even going to ask us to change aspects of our behavior as well. Yet God's instructions for us ultimately are given for our good. God wants to encourage us to live with greater joy and strength. And of course, God wants to transform us into the image of Jesus so that we can be the best that we can be. But I think out of all those compass points, the north, the south, the east, and the west, the most vital points are the north, encountering God in the Bible, but also in the east, listening and allowing God to speak to us. When we listen, when we read, when we encounter, we receive that abundant generosity that God just wants to give us. So we've got to pay close attention to what God is saying to us. And God, as the prophet Jeremiah says, will indeed tell us great and mighty things which we don't yet know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.